Welcome to Zichu Daf Si Mani Mamra by Avram Goldar and today Masechus Bava Basra Daf Kuf Dod, the sixth Perek HaMocher Peros. This Daf is dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Avi Umori Moshe Bembero. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that if a buyer is given more land than the base core he purchased above 7.5 kabin, the seller can choose if the buyer should return the excess land or purchase it from him. The Gemara challenges this from our Brisa stating that if the buyer was given more than 7.5 kabin beyond the base core, kofin is a mocher limkor. We compel the seller to sell the excess land if the buyer insists on buying it. And we compel the buyer to buy it if the seller insists. This proves that the benefit of each party was protected. The Gemara answers that the case is the havi yikar mikar v'zohashta, where it was originally expensive and now it has decreased. Here we tell the seller, if you want to give him the excess land, give it to him at the current lower price. Although only the seller decides if the excess land is returned or purchased, he cannot compel the buyer to purchase it at a loss. Another price which states the buyer pays the original price is explained as a case where the price rose after the purchase. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that if the buyer was given 9 kabin beyond the base core purchased, the excess land is returned to the seller. Rav Huna says this applies afil babika gadola, even in a large plain totaling many korin. Although this excess may be proportionally far less than 7.5 kabin per base core, it's returned since it represents the size of a significant field. Rav Nachman disagrees and says, Nosin Shivas Kabin Umexel a kor of a kor. The seller allows 7.5 kabin for each and every kor of land sold, and so long as the excess is less than this proportion of the total land sold, the excess is forgiven. However, if the excess is beyond the proportion of 7.5 kabin per kor sold, and the total excess is above 9 kabin, the excess land is returned, and the buyer is not compelled to buy it as taught before. And point number three, it was taught in the Brisa that imaya samucho sedehu, if the sold field was adjacent to the seller's field, afil koshu, even if the excess land was a minimal amount, maksiru karka, he may return the land. The seller cannot compel the buyer to purchase it because even the small land is useful to the seller since it's adjacent to his field. Rav Ashi asks what the law is if something separates the excess land from the seller's field, such as a pit, an irrigation stream, a public path, or a hedge of palms. These questions are left unresolved. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that if a buyer is given more land than the base core he purchased above 7.5 kabin, the seller can choose if the buyer should return the excess land or purchase it from him. The Gemara challenges this from a Brisa stating that if the buyer was given more than 7.5 kabin beyond the base core, kofin is a mocher limkor. We compel the seller to sell the excess land if the buyer insists on buying it. And we compel the buyer to buy it if the seller insists. This proves that the benefit of each party was protected. The Gemara answers that the case is the havi yikar mikar v'zohashta, where it was originally expensive and now it has decreased. Here we tell the seller, if you want to give him the excess land, give it to him at the current lower price. Although only the seller decides if the excess land is returned or purchased, he cannot compel the buyer to purchase it at a loss. Another price which states the buyer pays the original price is explained as a case where the price rose after the purchase. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that if the buyer was given 9 kabin beyond the base core purchased, the excess land is returned to the seller. Rav Huna says this applies afil babika gadola, even in a large plain totaling many korin. Although this excess may be proportionally far less than 7.5 kabin per base core, it's returned since it represents the size of a significant field. Rav Nachman disagrees and says, Nosin Shivas Kabin Umexel a kor of a kor. The seller allows 7.5 kabin for each and every kor of land sold, and so long as the excess is less than this proportion of the total land sold, the excess is forgiven. However, if the excess is beyond the proportion of 7.5 kabin per kor sold, and the total excess is above 9 kabin, the excess land is returned, and the buyer is not compelled to buy it as taught before. And point number three, it was taught in the Brisa that imaya samucho sedehu, if the sold field was adjacent to the seller's field, afil koshu, even if the excess land was a minimal amount, maksiru karka, he may return the land. The seller cannot compel the buyer to purchase it because even the small land is useful to the seller since it's adjacent to his field. Rav Ashi asks what the law is if something separates the excess land from the seller's field, such as a pit, an irrigation stream, a public path, or a hedge of palms. These questions are left unresolved. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Dalet, and a standard Siman is a code. a code. So here goes. The dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, sold multiple base core to the second and reached the 9-cov limit, and retained the property right next to the third, so he had to take the extra back. Once again, slow motion. The dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code. Code? That must be more duff. Kuf Dalit. The dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, which reminds us, a buyer is not forced to purchase the excess land at its initial higher price. So, the dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, sold multiple base core to the second, and reached a 9-cov limit, which reminds us, if the 9-coving rule applies even for purchases of many coring. So the dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, sold multiple base core to the second and reached the 9-cov limit, and retained the property right next to the third, so he had to take the extra back, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that the buyer may return excess land if it borders the seller's own field. So once again, the dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, sold multiple base core to the second and reached the 9-cov limit, and retained the property right next to the third, so he had to take the extra back. Alright, so now it's time for a 4-blot-back Hazara. Daf Kuf. So the simmer Daf Kuf is a monkey. So here goes. The monkey trainer monkey. That must be on Daf Kuf. Kuf. The monkey trainer went ape when, despite the public retaining the rights to the original path through his monkey enclosure, he couldn't take back the new path that he gave them through the vineyard. Which reminds us, the previous daf explained why Fields owner cannot reclaim the public's old path by giving them another one. The Gemara then asks why the public keeps the new path and explains that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Eliezer, who said that if the public chose a path through themselves in someone's field, Masha Baru Baru, what they chose and it becomes theirs. In this Mishnah, where he gave them the new path, mistakenly thinking he would retrieve the old path, certainly they would keep it. The Gemara objects that the public cannot simply seize a path through someone's field and reviewed a quote of Rav explaining the case, where the public lost a path in that field and the public took a path to replace theirs. So the monkey trainer went ape when, despite the public retaining the rights of the original path through his monkey enclosure, he couldn't take back the new path that he gave them through the vineyard, which they acquired by walking on it, which reminds us Rebbe Eliezer had taught that if the public chose a path in someone's property, their choice is effective. So Gemara asks, Rabin b'may kanalei, how does the public acquire the path? It answers behiluch, by walking on it. As Rebbe Eliezer says in a brisa, halach ba'l'archa l'rachba, if one walks across the length and width of a property, he acquires the area he walked. But the Chachamim say, ein hiluch moyel klum ad shiyachzik. Walking is not effective to acquire land until he makes a kinyan chazaka. So the monkey trainer went ape when, despite the public retaining the rights to the original path through his monkey enclosure, he couldn't take back the new path that he gave them through the vineyard, which they acquired by walking on it, to a levaya where the aveilim were sitting and standing 7 times in the cemetery. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, in pochasim meshiva mamados umoshavos lemeis, we do not do fewer than 7 standings and sittings for a person who died, where the people would pause to sit and comfort the mourners or bemoan the loss and then stand and continue. This was done at least 7 times, corresponding to the 7 mentions of futility in the pasuk, Hevel Havalim Amar Kohelis, Hevel Havalim HaKol Havel. Daf Kufalf. So the simmer Daf Kufalf is a bird caller going, caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller calling, caw, caw, bird caller calling, caw, caw. That must mean we're in Daf Kufalf. The bird caller calling, caw, caw, who heard an echo coming from a burial cave, which was 4 amos by 6, and had kuchen on the sides, and the far wall, which reminds us, the next mission discusses the standard dimensions of a burial chamber, and the number of kuchen and ma'aros. So the bird caller calling, caw, caw, who heard an echo coming from a burial cave, which was 4 amos by 6, and had kuchen on the sides and the far wall, finally found the birds hiding in 2 additional kuchen, which were on the corners of the far wall, which reminds the Gemara discusses the location of Rabbi Shimon's kuchen to the right and left of the entrance. So the bird caller calling, "Caw, caw," who heard an echo coming from a burial cave, which was 4 almost by 6 and had cooking on the sides and the far wall, finally found the birds hiding in 2 additional cooking, which were on the corners of the far wall, which were dug a little lower than the cooking next to them to keep the wall strong, which reminds the Gemara discusses being mamik the cooking so they do not touch each other. Daf Kuf Beis. So the Simra Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The cave explorer. Cave? That must be more on Daf Kuf Beis. The cave explorer who didn't move the 3 bodies buried in the Shechunas Kvaros cave, which reminds us, a Mishnah states that if one discovers 1 or 2 corpses buried normally, indicating Jewish burial, the bodies may be moved along with the surrounding earth. Because they're buried alone, they may have been buried there temporarily and may be moved. If he found 3 bodies, if there is space between them 4 to 8 amos, harzo shchunas kvaros, this is presumed as a burial ground, and the bodies may not be moved. So the cave explorer who didn't move the 3 bodies buried in the shchunas kvaros cave found 4 bodies densely packed together near an overplanted vineyard, which reminds us, in a brace that the Tanakhama says, matzan resufim, if he found bodies buried close together with fewer than 4 amos between them, they can be moved and are not considered a shchunas kvaros. Rabbi Shimon holds, roinas emsaim ki'ila einan. We view the middle ones as if they're not there, and the remaining bodies can combine to form a shchunas kvaros. The Gemara says that both opinions seem to contradict themselves regarding a vineyard planted with less than 4 amos between the rows, and explains the difference. So the cave explorer who didn't move the 3 bodies buried in the Shechunas Kvaros cave found 4 bodies densely packed together near an overplanted vineyard that he intended to move and bury next to the rocks 10 tefachim high that were not measured into his purchase of a base core of land, which reminds us, the 7th parak begins that if a seller says, base core afar nimochilach, I'm selling you a base core of earth, which is land large enough to plant a core of barley, which is 75,000 square amos, hayusham nekayim amukim asar tefachim, if there were ravines 10 tefachim deep in the field, or slime gvoin yud tefachim, or rocks 10 tefachim high there, they're not measured with it, and the seller must give additional land to complete the base core. Daf Kuf Gimel, so the simmer Daf Kuf Gimel is Kugel, so here goes. The Yerushalmi took noodles from Kugel's. Kugel's Yerushalmi, that must move on Daf Kuf Gimel. Yerushalmi Kugel. The Yerushalmi took noodles from Kugel's that were sitting in 10 fucking deep ravines in a field given to Hekdesh that were not counted as part of the field when being redeemed, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches that a field of Hekdesh is redeemed for 50 silver shekelim for each zera chomer seorim area on which a chomer of barley may be planted. If there were ravines 10 fucking deep or stones 10 fucking high, they are not measured towards a zera chomer seorim, rather, they are independently Hekdesh and redeemed at value. If they're smaller, they are included. So the Yerushalmi took noodles from Kugel's that were sitting in 10 fucking deep ravines in a field given to Hekdesh that were not counted as part of the field when being redeemed, and from some rock hard Kugel's that were less than 10 fucking high, which were counted as long as they were less than 4 kub. Which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that rocks less than 10 fucking high are measured together with a sold field. Rabbi Yitzhak said, Trushim Sha'amru base Arbus Kabin. The rocks they spoke of must be a total area of 4 kubs or less. If the total area is greater than 4 kabin, they're not included in the field's measurement. Rav Ukba Bar Chama said, "V'ushim uvloim b'chamishas kabin." These 4 kabin of rocks are only included when they are distributed within an area of at least 5 kubs. If they are closer together, they're excluded from the field's measurement. So the Yerushalmi took noodles from Kugel's that were sitting in 10 fucking deep ravines in a field given to Hekdesh that were not counted as part of the field when being redeemed, and from some rock hard Kugel's that were less than 10 fucking high, which were counted as long as they were less than 4 kav, to use as a rule to be sure the field he bought was exactly the size of a base core. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if the seller says, I'm selling you a base core of earth, mida bechevel, measured by a rope, meaning precisely, pichas koshu yinache, if the seller gave him even minimally less than a base core, he must deduct that amount from the price. Hosir koshu yachzer, if he gave even minimally more than a base core, the buyer must return the excess. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we discuss further limitations for measuring rocks with the land? For example, 4 kabin, that's on daf Kuf Gimel. Go number 2, which daf do we discuss if the 9 kabin rule applies even for purchases of many korin? That's on daf Kuf Dalet. Go number 3, which daf do we discuss the standard dimensions of a burial chamber and the number of kuchin and ma'aros? That's on daf Kufav. Good number 4. Which daf do you discuss the minimum standard dimensions for a house or a barn? That's on daf Tzadiches. Good number 5. Which daf do we learn that a buyer may return excess land if it borders the seller's own field? That's on daf Kuf Dalet. Good number six, which daf would you discuss? What the din is, if the buyer received less or more than the base korah offer he purchased when the field was measured precisely, that's on daf. Kuf Gamel. Good number seven, which daf do we have machlokes regarding which direction Shlomo's Kruvim faced, that's on daf. Tzadiches. Good number eight, which daf do you learn a buyer is not forced to purchase the excess land at its initial higher price, that's on daf. Kuftal. Good number nine, which daf to discuss sold wine which soured while remaining in the seller's kegs, that's on daf. Tzadiches. Good number ten, which daf to discuss when discovered buried corpses constitute a shchunas kvaros, that's on daf. Kufbeis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is everybody, Ram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.